For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. To give us a hope, a confident expectation. To give us a hope, an expected end. God wants to give you an expected end. Come on, He wants you to see some things that are out in front of you. Some possibilities, some good things. And He wants that to be your end. It says this in Proverbs 10, chapter 10, verse 28. It says, the hope of the righteous will be gladness. The hope of the righteous will be gladness. It actually says, but the hope of the wicked, or the end of the wicked, they will perish. Come on, but the expected end of the righteous, those of us that are with God, is gladness. Come on, our end is rejoicing. Come on, our end is found in the good things of the Lord. Hallelujah. God wants to give us a desire that we can look forward with, a desire with confident expectation of fulfillment. That's pleasurable to us. It's pleasurable to God. And it's in that place when we have an expectant hope that the Lord really can work and things can happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hope is a gift. I love gifts. I love gifts because it's the heart of someone to give you something. It's an expression of their love towards you, their adoration toward you, they're wanting to bless you. I love gifts from God. There are so many gifts that He gives us. Hope is a gift. I talked Sunday about Romans chapter 15, verse 13, but I'm just going to have you turn there again just so you can see it. We'll get a little recap here before we jump in fully tonight. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you may abound in hope. God wants us abounding in hope. Listen, your hope is important. Your hope is important because Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says this, that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Did you hear that? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And you know what I have found? You know what I have found in this life? Is that your body is a reflection of your soul. And your soul is really a reflection of your spirit. So how your spirit goes is how your soul goes, which is how your body goes. And so if we don't have hope in the Lord, if we have our hope deferred, if we're not living in a hope, we find that what happens is we begin to get weak and we begin to get sick, and there's nothing that's pulling us forward. The word says hope deferred makes the heart grow sick, but when desire or when hope comes, it's a tree of life. It's a tree of life. Come on. A tree of life begins, things begin to spring forward. Things begin to change the minute we step into hope. I mean, when we begin to get our hopes up, when we begin to get an expected end in front of us, things begin to happen first on the inside of us. It begins to happen on the inside, and life begins to come forth. Light begins to come forth. Come on, we begin to find ourselves believing God all of a sudden. And now that we're believing, there's a peace that comes. There's a joy that comes. Come on, there's life in us having hope. This is part of what God intends for us, that we would have a hope for our earthly life now, and we would have a heavenly hope for our life thereafter. Hallelujah. Listen, this life, we love this life. It's a good life. We get to experience God, but it pales in comparison to the hope that we have, the glorious expected end of an eternity with God, where we come back to earth and a new heaven and a new earth, where we rule and we reign in glory. Hallelujah. Come on, there's hope for us. Hope is part of the Christian life. It's how God intends for us to live. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Come on, we've been begotten. We've been born into a living hope. Come on, hope is in us. Hope is of God. Hope is put in us. There's a deposit in us of hope. Hope for all things in life and all situations of life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Hallelujah. Pastor always says that Wednesday night is Bible study night, so I got to get these scriptures in there, right? Praise the Lord. Told you I was going to try to teach tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm actually going to make you turn to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. The love chapter. Verse 13, it says, and now abide faith, hope, and love. And now abide, and now remains, stays ever constant. Now, right now, present, here today, in this life, in this earth, in your heart, these three things abide, faith, hope, and love. They abide together. They work together. And I know that y'all know, we talk about all the time how important it is to live by faith. We know that, right? I mean, the Bible talks about it, says it over and over again. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. I mean, we are to live by faith, not just have a little bit of faith sometimes. I mean, faith is who we are. It's what we do. We live by faith. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hallelujah. So how many of you know that faith is important? Come on, how many of you know that faith matters? Amen? Well, listen, the Bible says that faith, hope, and love abide together. So we know that the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, that faith works by love. It works through love. So if you really want to have faith, and if you want your faith to work, and you want to live a life of faith, you're going to have to also live a life of love. Praise the Lord. You're going to have to be active in the love walk. And I love that, and I know we preach about that a lot. And usually when you hear the love walk, it's all about you learning to love others and you learning to treat each other's right. And that's a big part of it, absolutely. But really the first part of faith works by love is that you understanding how much God really loves you. Really, the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Really, we got to get the revelation of really how much God loves us, how wonderful He thinks we are. I mean, how He looks at us, we are the apple of His eye, how He doesn't see our failures, He doesn't see our weaknesses. Come on, He sees us through the blood of Jesus. He sees us perfect. He sees us as who He calls us to be. He sees us fully equipped. Boy, when you can get anchored in that, then your faith is going to work because you're going to be able to believe God. Why? Because God loves me. Nothing else matters. God loves me. God is for me. God is on my side. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Even if I messed up yesterday or I messed up for 4 days in a row or for 4 weeks in a row, nothing can separate me from the love of God. And my faith is working because I'm loving God and God is loving me. And therefore, I can love people. Really, we can't love people until we know the love that God has. That's really the truth. So we spend a lot of effort sometimes trying to, you know, I say this, if you're having trouble in your love walk with other people, check up on your love of God towards you. Are you feeling complete in Him? Are you feeling that you're fully pleasing to Him? That He likes you? That He gets up every day, He's just like waiting to meet with you and talk with you and work with you and give you your heart's desires? That's God. That's the love of God. That makes our faith work. But three things abide: faith, hope, and love. So really what we see is that faith can't function without our hope. Really, truly, truly the truth is that faith doesn't exist without hope. Because Romans 11, chapter 11, verse 1, turn there. What does it say? So we see that faith, hope, and love, they abide together. And we know that our faith works by love. But really, to be honest, hope is the container of our faith. Yeah. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of what you're hoping for. Faith can only work with what you're hoping for. If there is no hope, there's no faith. If you don't have any hope, there's no aim for your faith. There's nothing for your faith to go toward. You know, we could have an air conditioning unit in here, right? We could have an air conditioning unit. But if I don't have hope of this building being a certain temperature, then even though I can go turn on the switch which the switch to make it work would be faith. I turn on that switch, but if I don't have an aim for the temperature, there's no telling what it would be like in here. Hope is what gives aim to our faith. Hope is the blueprint of faith. It tells faith what to go after. It tells faith what the expected end is. And so, you know, we've been building a building here. Did y'all know that? So this is a really good example. You know, when we started off with this building, first of all, I had a dream in my heart. I had an expected end. I had a hope. I had a hope that we were going to have a building. It was going to be a big building, and it was going to be a beautiful building. And I remember that day I ran up, peeked in that building. I ran, looked in, and I saw it was fully furnished. And so all along I've been telling the Lord, thank you, Lord, I know you're furnishing the house. So I had a hope in my heart. I had an expected end. But then when we got really serious about it, when the time really came, we had to get a blueprint for the church. We couldn't just go out and start gathering materials. We had to get a blueprint. We had to know what we're building, what we're putting together here. How big is each room going to be? What's it going to look like? What's it going to take to make that happen? That's hope. That's what hope is for your life. It's the blueprint of your life. It's what you're working toward. It's the framework. We have to have hope. Come on, we have to have a desire with an expectation of an expected end that what we desire is going to come to pass. So that then our faith can begin to work toward that. So once we got the blueprint, listen, it's important that you get your blueprint right. You know, sometimes we're sitting back and things are just a little comfortable and like, well, what are you hoping for? And I don't know. No, you need to get some things to hope for. I mean, you need to get some specific things to hope for. When we built this church and had a blueprint, we didn't just sit down with the architect and say, okay, we want 14 rooms and this and that, put it all together. I mean, we got that thing out. We were drawing, we were measuring, we were looking, we were squeezing, we were manipulating, we were putting it all together so that it could be exactly what God wanted us to have, exactly what we with God wanted to have. So sometimes you got to get real specific with your hope. Otherwise, your hope will get kind of nebulous and you'll just find yourself kind of wandering and not really knowing. We have to establish our hope. And then faith, you know, it took faith to bring those blueprints here. You're not sitting in a blueprint. Praise the Lord. It took some stuff. It took some substance to what we saw on paper. It took materials. Come on, it took steel, it took concrete, it took nails, it took all kind of stuff to come together and take that hope by our faith and make it a reality. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like to say that the labor is like love. Because we could have brought all the materials here, we could have got all the steel together, we could have got all the concrete, could have got everything we needed, but if there wasn't the labor of it, putting it all together. Labor is what made those materials come. That's how love is to me with faith. Love is the thing that pushes your faith through, gets you to that expected end. Hallelujah. But it's important that we have hope for our life. Listen, we need hope for our finances. And I'm not talking about just hope when you're down and out. See, that's where we miss it sometimes. It's like we think that, you know, we're not supposed to have any hope or we're not supposed to have any pushing towards something unless we're like, you know, down and out about it. But God wants you to have a hope, a good hope for every area of your life. Amen. If you've got a good job and you're doing well financially, God still wants you to have a hope, something that you're working toward, aiming your faith toward. Amen. Amen. What about for your health? Do you have a hope for your health? I mean, can you see? Can you see yourself really well? Can you see yourself living in the life of God, in the health of God? You got to have hope for your health. If you don't have hope for your health, your faith will never work. And don't forget that when I'm talking about hope, I'm not talking about natural hope, wishing and wanting. I'm talking about supernatural hope, which is a desire with a confident expectation of fulfillment. That is what Bible hope says. And that's what makes you lift your eyes open real wide and say, I'm going after this, bless God, and ain't nobody and nothing getting in my way. And I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep confessing. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep sowing. I'm going to keep confessing my scriptures. I'm going to keep having people pray for me. Come on, church. Listen, when you get something down there and you know that you know that you know that you know, I know that I know that I know. I don't care. I'm going against somebody's going to preach. Today's the day. Come on, I have an expected end that I'm going to live well. How about having a hope for your relationships? Amen. And I'm not talking about just hope for, like, to get married, although that can be a hope. Absolutely. As long as that's of God, as long as you feel okay with God about that in your heart, you ought to have that hope. And don't you let anybody and anything change you off of that. You just keep marching, you keep walking, you keep loving God and serving God and just having one eye open for what's going on around. Don't you be chasing. Listen, hope does not chase. Hope does not chase. Hope confidently, step by step, moves toward that expectant end. You got to have hope for relationships. You got to have hope for your spiritual life. How many of you have ever have realized that, come on, if you're going to keep progressing in God, if you're going to keep growing, if things are going to continue to happen for you and you're going to move along in the things of God, God didn't design us to be stagnant. He didn't design us to remain in the same. He desired for us to go from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. So you're going to have some hope for your spiritual life. That means some real desire with an expectation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. God is the God of hope, and He fills us with hope that we may abound in hope. And so Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, the last part of that scripture in verse 19 says this, to lay hold of the hope set before us. We are to lay hold of the hope set before us. Who sets a hope before us? God sets a hope before us. Come on, if we'll just live with God, if we'll just be in tune with God, if we'll just be sensitive enough to God, if we'll be sensitive to Him, then we'll recognize that He's trying to set some things in front of us. Come on, God has a destiny on your life. Come on, from the beginning of time, God has a destiny for you. And there, listen, I love this, that my biggest cheerleader, the one who is rooting me on more than anybody, is not my daddy. My natural daddy, although he does. It's not my husband, although he does. It's God. God. I mean, God is rooting me on. He is my biggest fan. He is my biggest cheerleader. He's all for you and the destiny that He has on your life. Absolutely. And so He wants to set some things before you. And the Bible tells us here that we got to lay hold of them. I mean, lay hold. I'm talking about like a bulldog. I'm talking about, you know, the bulldog has that, they have a mechanism in their jaw that when they clamp down on something, it actually locks into place. And that's why they say that a bulldog will fight to the death because it won't let go. It locks down. You got to lock down on some of the hope for your life. You got to lock down. I'm talking about bite down on it and hang on. Bless God. I'm not letting go. Lay hold. One night I was laying in bed and I'd laid down to go to sleep and I wasn't really praying or doing anything with the Lord per se. And all of a sudden I just knew that the Lord was in my room. He was just there with me. And He just said this to me. He said, I'll lay hold with you of anything that you lay hold of. And I went through a season. I remember it. I went through a season where it's like instantly I would see something or my heart would go toward, and it was like something in me would just like latch on. It's like, I mean, I just took a grip with it, a spiritual grip. And when I would take that spiritual grip, I had to take the grip. God didn't grip it for me. I had to take the grip. But the minute I would latch onto that, I would feel the strength of God and the ability of God in what I had latched onto. It was so powerful. This lasted for about 6 months. And the things that I progressed in my life in that time was phenomenal. It was monumental for my life. Because I laid hold. The Bible says we're to lay hold of hope. You know, I think hope gets a bad rap. We don't preach about hope very much. It's all about faith and love. But listen, hope sets the stage. God wants us to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. Verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Listen, you know what our soul is? Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. And our soul really is moved by our senses. What we can see, feel, hear, touch, and you know, circumstances, situations, troubles, all those things, that they're driven by the soul. And so if we're not careful, even though we have a spirit, you know, we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body, and our spirit and our soul is very closely connected, the Bible tells us we gotta live by our spirit and not our soul. So we can't let our soul being the one that's just driving us and causing things to happen and causing us to make decisions and go do this. And No. We have to be spirit-led, spirit-driven. And so hope, knowing what God has said, knowing what God wants, knowing what you're moving toward, knowing what your expected end is the thing that anchors your life and doesn't let your soul drive you around. When you have a hope that I'm the healed of the Lord, I am healed and my body is healed, then when you're anchored to that, you won't be moved and driven by what your body is saying in a moment or how you wake up feeling that day, because all that is secondary. It's minimal compared to the truth of who God is, what God has said, and the hope that's established in us. Hallelujah. Somebody pray for whoever that Amber Alert's for. But hope is actually what anchors us. Hope is what makes us steadfast. Hope is what anchors us down and then gives our faith a place to direct and work toward. We've got to have hope. We got to have hope. I mean, we got to spend some time just dreaming in the Lord, just letting desire come up. Your hope is important. Your hope is what gives your faith a place to work. Hope is what's going to anchor your life. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't know what the expected end is, you're just going to be twisted and tossed and turned and going nowhere. It's like you'd be just going in a circle. Just going in a circle. Well, life is pretty good. I'm just going in a circle. You know? I think many times the reason that we go around the same mountain and we just go around the same was there's a mountain and there's something at the top of the mountain. I love the scripture that says I can cause the mountain to move. Praise the Lord. But sometimes you got to climb the mountain. Sometimes there's a climbing of the mountain and getting to the top of the mountain and seeing what's at the top of that mountain. And so hope is the thing that causes you to go up there, not just cause you to just stand around down at the bottom. Hope is important. Hope in every area of our life, we must have hope. Listen, God is able to fulfill your dreams. God is able to fulfill your desires. He's able. Listen, the arm of the Lord has not been shortened. There's nothing too big for God. There's nothing too hard for God. And what we have to do is stop looking at the situation and stop looking at the circumstances. As long as we're looking at that, that's what's going to move us. But we have to, again, like I said Sunday, put our spiritual sight upon the Lord and upon our expected end. Come on, when your body starts talking to you and telling you something contrary, you got to close your eyes and you got to see yourself well. You got to see yourself doing the very thing that you think you can't do. Amen. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul found himself in a very difficult time. At one time, he was jailed in Philippi. And he made this statement in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. He said, "For I know this will turn out for my deliverance." He was in prison. But he wasn't looking around at the hardship and all the stuff, and he wasn't wondering, "God, why? God, tell me about this." No, no, no. He had an expected end, is that it was going to be turned for his deliverance. It was going to be turned for his good. That was his hope. And his hope was what drove him. He said, "It will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." First of all, I love this that he's talking to the Philippians. Listen, we are in this together. We are in this together. We need to be praying for one another. You never know when your prayer might be for my deliverance. We can't do this alone. Preachers can't do it alone. Pastors can't do it alone. Leaders can't do it alone. Come on, the people of God, we can't do this alone. We're called together to pray for each other, to bring our supply of the Spirit. It says, "I believe that this will turn for my deliverance through your prayer," not his prayer, but your prayer, "and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." In other words, Christ in you is going to help bring the answer. "According, though, to my earnest expectation and hope." In other words, Paul had a hope and an expectation that he was going to be delivered out of the situation. And his belief in this circumstance came through the prayers of other people. You know, sometimes the devil just tries to tell us that our praying don't do nothing. Sometimes the devil tries to get us so focused on ourselves, on our lives and our situations. Most of the time, if you're so focused on your own situations, the truth is you're not really praying in faith. You're praying your problems. But I have found sometimes in the deepest, darkest, whatever, let me just pray for somebody else. Don't let the devil tell you that your prayers don't matter. I covet your prayers. We need each other. And that's the advantage that we have as Spirit-filled people, is that we get the unction of the Spirit at any moment. I get an unction from Benjamin. And I don't have to know about Benjamin. I don't have to know where he's at. I just know that I got an unction and I'm going to pray. And I know in this moment, because God has put an unction in my heart, that the moment I lift up my heart toward God, I'm there with God and I am doing something on behalf of Him. And it's working. That's my expectation. It's working. Hallelujah. I love that about the body of Christ. But Paul said it was according to his earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. We don't ever have to be ashamed in God. Listen, there's no disappointment in Him. There's no shame in Him. I know sometimes we've prayed, we've hoped, and it hasn't quite worked out, but that's okay. Listen, it just maybe means our hope needs to be redirected, but what I know is that God never runs out of a plan. Come on, just because one plan didn't work, God will just come right out with a better plan, with another plan. Shame and confusion, that's for the unrighteous. But gladness is the expected end of the righteous people. Listen, our hope is not empty. Our hope is not empty. It's founded on the goodness and the truth of God. I have a hope. I have an expected end. Why? Because God has said something to me. You know, sometimes people will tell me, I've had people tell me this before, and I'm like, "Well, what are you hoping for? You know, what are you desiring?" I'm like, "Well, I don't know. God hadn't said anything to me." What do you mean God hasn't said? Do you mean you've attained everything in this book? Every promise? You mean every promise you've already laid hold of? Maybe God's not speaking something direct to you because He's already given you a promise. They want you to hang on. Stop looking for something else. Just put your hope in the Word of God. Hope in the Word. Because God is the Word. Hallelujah. So don't forget, your hope is never empty. Your hope will produce. Hallelujah. I love that. I love that, that I can count on God. Listen, never hopeless. There's never a time to be hopeless. There's never a situation, no matter what circumstances, no matter what's happening, no matter what hasn't happened, no matter how long. Listen, one of the biggest enemies of hope is time. Because we want to be able to pray something and then it instantly happened, but we forget hope is in the future. Hope is our expectation of the expected end of what is to come. Faith is what brings it into the now. Listen, and there's just a lot of things that are going to only come. A lot of your hope is going to be fulfilled only through you working, staying faithful, not doubting, not wavering, not giving up, just staying constant and steady in your hope. I have this hope. I have this hope. I know I said it, but my building here was 18 and a half years. 18 and a half years I hung on to that. Never once doubted that it would be. As long as God is on the throne, and He's on the throne how long? Forever. There's never a time to be hopeless. Even in the worst of the worst of the worst of the situations. I don't know if you've ever studied out Jeremiah 29:11, when this was actually written, was it a very, very, very challenging time for the Israelites. They had been exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon. They were hopeless. They were in a very desperate situation. They couldn't go to Jerusalem. They couldn't worship God. They couldn't trust their teachers, their preachers. It was a really tough situation. And in the middle of it, God came on the scene and said, man, I understand how difficult it is. Come on, hang your head and talk to me about how difficult it is. Is that what God said? No, He said, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Here they are in captivity. Here they are slaves. Out of their homeland, not able to worship God. And He said, I'm going to give you a future and an expected end. In the midst of the deepest, darkest, most desperate times. Because it's hope that brings us out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God wants us to have hope. He does have a plan. I talked about that Sunday. He's got a very well thought out, detailed plan. He has a destiny for your life. And if you will commit to Him and just stay with Him, you'll get the best. I remember years ago, you know, this was when I was first really getting deep into the kingdom. I had recently been spirit-filled, and I was walking through a very, very, very difficult time in my life. And God dropped this hope in my heart. And the hope was this, that if I will just stay with God, in the end, whatever the end is, it will be the best for me. Because see, sometimes we think we know best. But really, it's God that knows best. And in that situation, maybe what I was really thinking, I wasn't sure about. But what I did know was this, that if I stayed with God and walked it out with God, that no matter what happened, in the end, it would be the best for me. Listen, God can't control people. He can't make people do everything that you want them to do and need them to do. But what He can do is stay involved in your whole journey and get you to the desired end. Some way or another. Some way or another. So we have to make sure that we don't get moved off of our expected end by time lapse, a time. I've heard people tell me that, but I've believed for so long. Keep believing, keep hoping, keep expecting, keep getting up every day and saying, today's the day. I haven't expected it in. I know it shall be. It shall be just as I see it. It shall be just as I say it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the plan of God, for your life. He has a plan for an abundant life for you, an exceeding abundantly beyond measure life for you. He has things that He's set in motion, that He's orchestrating, that He's working, causing things to come together, work for your good. Even the things that were meant for evil, God can turn for good. Come on, certainly if he did that in the Old Testament for Joseph, certainly he can do it for you. We just got to step over some of those things. Keep our hope in God. He's got a great plan. Hallelujah. And I know that the plan of God won't fail. That's my expectation, that God is bigger and that the plan of God is greater and God's plan won't fail. And so you just have to hang on and hang on. And, you know, there's an old saying that goes, I'm just at the end of my rope. And sometimes that's how it feels. Listen, nobody said that earth life was going to be easy. What he did say was that we didn't have to do it by ourselves. We didn't have to do it in our own strength. That we could have faith in God, hope in God, and that our faith would help us to overcome. But nobody said this was going to be easy, and sometimes it really does feel like we've gotten to the end of your rope. It's just like, man, I have hung on and hung on, and I can't hang on anymore. But just about the time you think you can't hang on anymore, I just say tie a knot at the end of the rope, tie a knot, and just hang on longer. That's when we go out of our own, and God kicks in. I mean, listen, we have to be able to trust God to kick in that moment. And God, I'm hanging on, man. I've tied the knot. Woo! And I'm hanging on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God enables us. He empowers us to have a hope, to have a strong hope, even when things look impossible. Come on, even when things look impossible. We sing that song and we love that song, right? Waymaker, miracle worker. But are you believing that about your life? I'm not talking about singing a song and liking the tune of it and letting it make my soul feel good. You better be careful when you're worshiping the Lord that you're not doing it from your soul. What are you singing? Are you making a declaration? Come on, do you believe he's your way maker? What's he making a way for? I ought to be able to go around the room and say, what's he your way maker for? What's he? If you don't have something that instantly comes to your heart, then you haven't stirred up your hope. Come on, that you're not having an aim for your life. He is the way maker. He will make a way. Absolutely. No matter what it is, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. I mean, he'll move the mountain. He'll split the sea. He'll cause the angels to show up. Lucille was just telling me. She was in Missouri. Was it Missouri? She was in Missouri one night in her bed, and she heard the Lord say this. The Lord said, shout, shout, shout. And I didn't ask her this. I hope she went ahead and shouted. She did shout. And then she asked the Lord, do what the Lord said before you ask him. Your first response to that would not be, no, Lord, why would I shout? Now, when the Lord says, shout, 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 you jump up, shout, shout, shout. And then she asked the Lord, Lord, why am I shouting? I love that. We can ask. He might want to tell us. And he told her that he was releasing thousands of thousands of thousands of angels in the earth today to minister for God's people. That ought to give you some hope. Wow, that ought to really give you some hope. Come on, the angels of God, I mean, they can do all kinds of stuff. I remember Dr. Ed Dufresne told the story one time that his mother got pregnant before they were married and, you know, very shameful, and they were going to abort the baby. And they were driving across the border to go have an abortion. And he said, all of a sudden, his dad went like this. And he looked at her and he said, we can't abort the baby. Should I make myself presentable again? Is this still crazy? Just a good dose of the hump. I'm just about to get you. And so the story goes that he looked at her and he said, we can't abort the baby. But this was Dr. Dufresne that they're talking about, who grew up to be an awesome prophet of God and affected thousands of people across the world. And Dr. Dufresne, you know, he had heard his parents tell him that story. But he said one night he was praying, just praying, wasn't praying about his parents, and he had a vision. And he actually saw his parents. He saw the whole thing in a spiritual vision. He saw his parents in the car. He saw the road. He was sitting in the back seat with them. And what he saw was all of a sudden an angel popped up in the car and slapped his dad on the head. Slapped him on the head. Popped him upside the head. Listen, get some sense in you. You aren't aborting this baby. Glory to God. Come on, we have angelic assistance. We have hope in God. We have heavenly assistance more than ever before, like never before. Woo, when she told me that tonight, I was like, woo. Because I've had angels help me. I've had them show up. I've seen them. I've seen their work. Listen, wow. When the angels show up, I mean, everything that's humanly just pales in comparison to their ability in that moment. And so then she told me the rest of the story. Then you went somewhere. You got to... Praise the Lord. Just start shouting. How about just start shouting? How about just start shouting? How about just start shouting? Shout. Come on, shout. Come on, shout. We have heavenly help. Angels helping you. Angels coming to work for you. I said, shout. Come on, shout. Come on, shout. Come on, shout, church. It's time to shout. It's time to shout with the voice of triumph. Woo! 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 Shout! Shout unto God! We have a hope! Woo! Woo! Come on, there's victory in your shout! There's help in your shout. There's hope in your shout. You have no idea what just happened spiritually. Woo, come on, things are changing. Come on, things are moving. Come on, things are shifting. Come on, things are rearranged right now. God is working. Come on, the angels are going forth, making a way, causing things to move. Woo! When Holy Ghost people hear something from God, they hear a shout, they hear a run, they just jump up and do it. Woo! Seriously, I know right then that something shifted in the spiritual realm. I mean, I saw things shift. Hallelujah! We shout unto God! We shout unto God! Woo! We shout in victory. We shout in hope. We shout. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Woo! God is working it out. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Come on, lay hold of something. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, he's turning it around. Woo. 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 Come on, just go with the Holy Ghost. Woo. Woo. Ha, 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 ha. Thank you. sense the angels are stirring the waters. Come on. They're stirring the waters. Woo! Glory! Glory! Somebody needs to run. Just run. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! Try to figure it out. Just believe that God is turning it around. Just a good dose of the Holy Ghost. That is all I need. Just get a good drink for a moment. Just get a good drink. Just open your mouth. Ha ha ha. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha. Woo! Samantha, do you want to come sing it? Try to sing it in Spanish? No. Woo! Woo! Listen, this is what life, this is what makes life worth living. This is it. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. 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 Glory! Glory! Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, ha, 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 ha. Woo! All my old Holy Ghost drinking songs are coming up. All my Holy Ghost, get drunk in the Lord, get drunk in the Spirit songs are popping up. I'm like wanting to sing. praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Woo! He is the Spirit of hope. He is alive. He is well. Yes. Glory. Glory. Woo! Come on, there's more on the horizon. Come on, good things are to come. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! There's nothing dignified about being in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh. Hallelujah. Hope. Let hope arise. Let hope arise. Woo! We are the most hopeful people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Woo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, clap it out, brother. Clap it out. Clap it out. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a life.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.